Welcome back to the Positive Gains Podcast. Today, my special guest is Tony Weeks. Tony Weeks is a legendary boxing referee, judges in the UFC. Probably seen him on the big screen. He's been in one of the most iconic photos that's circulated through the web for years, as well as he's ref many big matches. Tony, thanks for being on.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
And so a little backstory. The first time that I met Tony was about three years ago at a, Diamond and Denim dinner for a benefit dinner for the Boys and Girls Club. Tony was a guest speaker. I was and a few other people. And I just remember you sharing the importance of the Boys and Girls Club. And you had donated, you know, quite a few things that were signed so that the Boys and Girls Club could, you know, use that for their benefit. So that's a little backstory of, you know, where I met Tony. But background info before we get into, you know, all the good stuff, you know, where did you grow up and how did you get started into refereeing?
Well, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. And, you know, I was always in athletics. Played football, ran track. I wasn't into boxing, but I was into martial arts. But having grown up in the 60s and 70s, especially during the great era of boxing with Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier and a lot of the great heavyweights and Roberto Duran and Leonard Hearns and Hagler, those guys, you know, watching those guys go 15 rounds and fighting on a regular basis and everything. So I was always into boxing. How I started, I was the athletic director in the federal prison system. And what I did was I put on a boxing exhibition. We had an inmate up there who one of the trainers was interested in training when he was released. I decided, you know what, let's put on a little boxing exhibition, bring a couple of fighters up. And what I did was I had the inmate, I got permission from the authorities to have let the inmate do a little exhibition with one of the fighters in. And I made that kind of the main event, you know. What had happened was when they got it in, they started sparring. I forgot. I said, wow, man, I forgot to get a referee, you know. And just out of curiosity, you know, I just like, you know, hey, I asked one of the trainers, Beto Martinez, do you mind if I get up there and, you know, referee? He said, no, go ahead. And I got up there and I tell you like this, man, instantly I fell in love with it. It was like, I didn't really know the rules and regulations, but I knew of it, you know, watching boxing, Richard Steele and Mills Lane and Larry Hazard, all those great referees, and watching how they maneuver in the ring. And make a long story short, at the end of the show, the trainer, Beto Martinez, asked me if I ever done that before. I said, no. He said, well, I think you should look into it. You know, you got good natural movements. You know, he saw something in me that I didn't see or recognize at the time. And he took it a step further and he called the local boxing commission, which was in, I was in Phoenix, Arizona at the time, living there. And called him up and said, yeah, I think you need to give this guy a shot. I didn't know at the time, you know, Beto was very influential in the boxing business. And if he put a word out there for you, you know, people will listen. The commission called me up and, you know, told me, okay, you know, listen, I'll give you a number to call, start out the amateurs and, you know, work your way up. And I called the amateur over there in Phoenix and it wasn't really getting anywhere. I didn't hear back from him. And so I kind of like let it go. Mm. And then one day I got a call from the Arizona State Boxing Commission, which at the time was the executive director was John Montano. And he said, listen, we got a tough man contest coming up in Kingman, Arizona. They want you to come down. We want to take a look at you. And if you know anything about tough man contests, you know, it's they're not disciplined fighters. So anything could happen. But luckily, everything went well. And he says, you know, great, look good. You know, come back Monday, get your physical, and be working from there. And ever since then, I've been doing it.
So it was quite the journey then, like you said, to it didn't just happen right away, even after getting in contact with people. You know, you had to wait around for a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And on top of that, you know, immediately, yeah, I had dreams and aspirations. You know, I want to go to Vegas. you know, Vegas is right next door, you know.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen right away. I moved to Vegas in 95 and I didn't get on to 2000. So it was a little, you know, it was some time in between, but I never gave up.
Never gave up hope. And, you know, so the feelings, like you get your first match, you know, and they give you the call. What's going on through your head? You know, because I'm sure you're thinking it's going to be a little different than what I've just done. I'm sure you know, mentally prepared or watching tape or film on different people. But what thoughts did you have as you were preparing for that first match?
Wow. You know, I was excited, of course. You know, when you're refereeing, it's to this day, you know, it's still a mixed feeling of being excited and a little bit of fear, a little bit of, you know, anticipation, you name it. But I was really excited and ready to go. Of course, you know, when I stepped in the ring, I knew and understood that, you know, this is the real deal. This right. is not exhibition. These guys are coming out there to win. And the thing about this, going back to Beto Martinez, the one who, quote unquote, discovered me, he said I was a natural at it. And I was, because I didn't feel out of place. You know, I didn't feel like someone who never done this before. I felt like I was there before, I guess, you know, just watching all the boxing and being athletic, and always doing other sports and everything. But no, I mean, it was just an exciting time. And I couldn't wait to get in there and see what it was like. And it was definitely different. That lit the match and everything went well from there.
So it felt good to get the first one under your belt.
Oh, absolutely.
And absolutely. So with the UFC kind of transitioning a little bit, you're also a judge as well. Where did that fall in? Because, I mean, now if we're kind of getting off a little bit, I imagine you repped all these, these different boxing matches and your name's out there, respectable. So did that just roll right into being a judge with the UFC?
Well, actually, when the UFC came back into existence and we had the first UFC in Las Vegas, the night before the event, they had all the judges come in, and they had me come in because of my martial arts experience.
Oh, okay.
What had happened was they showed a fight, and they asked us to judge it. This fight, as we know in MMA, you know, you have a 5-minute round. Not like in boxing, where you have a 3-minute round. And what happened was you had a fighter who knocked down their opponent and, began to pounce on him. But the opponent got back up and started fighting back. But the opponent who was knocked down was winning the majority of that fight. Now, in boxing, when you get a knockdown, there's a pretty much automatic 10-8 round. And when the lights came on and they looked directly at me for some reason, said, Tony, how'd you score? I told him I scored it, 10-9 for the guy who got knocked down. And everybody said, well, wait a minute, that was a knockdown. But they didn't understand that the 5 minutes in that round, about three and half minutes of the round, the other guy was winning and dominating him. And it's not like in boxing, like I say, when you get knocked down, there's an automatic 10-8 round, right. You know. So part of it, you know, is because of who I was or who I am and my martial arts experience.
Wow. And, you know, so much going on for you, boxing, judging, and then here comes the big screen, right? Here comes the movie Southpaw. And obviously it's not a spoiler now because I'm pretty sure everybody's seen it. It's been out for a little bit, but family movie, I feel, even though, you know, it's gritty, on the edge, but you find yourself there in the movie and you're there with these juggernauts, you know, 50 Cent, who's been in tons of stuff. Jake Gyllenhaal has been in many things, but I think people had a high respect for you, you know, that I've been reading and seeing, because, you know, you were the guy that you actually, you know boxing, not to say that these guys don't, but you're around it a lot more. So, you know, what did you take away from being involved with the film and, you know, just the training that those guys went through?
Well, first of all, I don't believe that you can get an actor to play a part of a referee, because, you know, they don't really actually know how to move and how to stay in position, you know, what to do in certain times. When I looked at it now, looking back at it now, you know, they wanted all authentic people in boxing. People who the general fans can identify with.
Right.
I know this judge, or I know this announcer, you know, what have you. Jake and Miguel, you know, they were in phenomenal shape, and the choreographed in there for the fight scenes were really authentic. And there's times in there where they actually got nicked a couple of times, you know. You know, just watching and just me playing myself, that, you know, they wanted me to say a few lines here and there, but just to ad lib and just playing myself and just, acting naturally, you know, when certain things happen. No, it was just great, you know. And I couldn't have done it. Or what I'm saying, I couldn't have been myself as an actual referee if those guys, those two fighters, didn't really show or demonstrate any great boxing technique. It was phenomenal.
Wow. Yeah, you know, said that before, people to watch the movie. And it, like you said, it's authentic. It really is. But, I mean, that wasn't it for you. You know, you're going to be on the big screen once again, you know, coming out March, I think March 3rd. Yes. Creed 3. Obviously that's going to do well at the box office, but you're in the center of it again, alongside Michael B. Jordan and Jonathan Majors. And obviously we can't talk too much about it, but will you talk about your experience working on set, and was it similar to Southpaw?
Oh, pretty much similar in terms of the long hours. you know, of course, my part is physical. And so, you know, you have to be in condition to really go, because you're working, you know, 12, 13 hours a day. You know, it's scene after scene, take after take. But those guys, I was really, really, once again, really impressed with Michael B. and Jonathan Majors. You know, matter of fact, I saw you know, the previous Creeds 1 and 2, where Michael B. was, you know, he was really good in it. But I was really impressed with Jonathan now, you know, and his techniques and you know, being able to really, you know, demonstrate this is a real boxing match. And it, like I say, it was the same atmosphere. It was intense, you know, a couple of times guys get nicked, and, you know, because these scenes are really more and more authentic now. You know, it's going to be a great, great movie. You're going to really love it.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I wanted to ask too, that kind of didn't cover, but, you know, the shape that referees have to be in, I don't think that that's probably stressed enough, or I think it's overlooked to, you know, people like myself that, you know, you're just watching the fight. You're caught up in, you know, the two guys duking it out. And so can you talk about that? Like the physical shape that, you know, is, I guess, really required and expected of you to, you know, have stamina throughout the match.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're going 12 rounds with those guys. And, you know, depending on, you know, the smaller guys, they move quick. You know, you have to really get in there, get back. The big guys, you got to really get in there and pull them apart and be able to physically handle them. You know, we get tired in it too. If people don't, may not realize that, you know, my style of refereeing, I'm a mover. So I like to move, stay in position. So I'm constantly, trying to adjust to everything. And yes, you know, you definitely have to be in shape. That's why I go to the gym. That's why I work out, you know, and being in that ring with those guys, you know, really keeps me up.
Wow. And so that kind of leads me into the next thing, you know, with everything that you've, you know, done so far, from reffing to judging, to being in these movies, what keeps you going forward? Because, you know, some people might've said, hey, you know, I've done what I needed to do or what I felt like I needed to do. I'm done. I'm just going to chill. But it seems like, you know, you're going 110%, you know. So what keeps you going still? What drives you?
A love and respect for the sport. I love the sport. I respect the sport. I respect all fighters who step in that ring, no matter of their status, you know, champion or not. Yeah, it's just a love and a respect for the sport. You know, to me, this is not a job. I enjoy what I do. I mean, it's a tremendous amount of pressure that we're under in that ring when we're doing any type of fight, but especially a high-level boxing match. And if you don't have a love and respect for it, if you just want to do it for the money or for the fame, you're not going to last. So as long as I'm physically able to do it, you know, as long as I think I would always have a love and respect for the sport, but as long as I'm physically able to do it and be motivated to get in that ring, you know, I just keep doing it.
And then we go back to your first televised match with Hopkins and Eccles, the second one. I want to know about the mental preparation for it, because I think a lot of people would, obviously they're going to do it, right? But what thoughts are going on through your head? Do you got family and friends like texting you like, you know, hey, I can't wait to see you there. Like, how do you, you know, deal with all of the distractions at that time, preparing for that first one?
Well, like in any fight, you know, I'm just concentrating on the two fighters and in that square ring. Leading up to the fight, I can deal with family or friends, you know, calling up, hey, good luck, we can't wait to see you, blah, blah, this, blah, blah, that. but as it gets close to fight time, I'm totally focused on what I have to do as a referee, because I don't hear the crowd. I don't hear any negative talk or any noise or anything. It's total focused on those two fighters, because the action in there is so quick and so fast.
Wow.
And I may add, in that particular fight, that fight really tested me. Excuse me. You know, Bernard being a very crafty guy, old school guy, knows all the tricks, you know, in the trade and everything. And I never experienced, that was my first time experiencing something of that nature in a boxing match. I mean, here I am live on HBO, and it's like, you know, when you're going through it in real time, you don't know how other people are looking at it and seeing it. And in my mind, I'm like, oh my God, I think my career is done or through, you know. It's like, you know, Larry Merchant, they're going to have a field day on this one, you know. But I remember finally having to take a point away from Bernard, and we got a kind of a running joke every time we see each other, you know. When I went over to him in the corner, he said, no other referee ever told or said this to me. And I went over to the corner. I said, Bernard, you know, cut it out, fight like a champion. And he said he couldn't dispute that. But anyway, when the fight was over, finally I had to stop the fight. And Mark Ratton, who was the executive director at the time, you know, came in the ring. And anytime Mark comes in the ring, there's either a potential for some controversy or there is some controversy. And Mark just told me, hey, you know, just go to the back. Don't talk to nobody. Don't worry about it. So I'm walking through this gauntlet of people, you know, saying this and saying that. And I get into the back. And I have a couple of boxing trainers coming over to me. And I remember them saying to me, he says, you know what? You know, that was a very tough fight for even the most experienced referee. You know, you did a good job in there. And and Joe Cortez came over to me and told me, he says, you know, it's going to be a blessing in disguise. And at the time, you know, the way I was feeling, I was like, oh, they're just trying to, you know, comfort me. And, you know, but when I went home and I looked at it, it wasn't that bad. And I did everything I was supposed to do and handled it the way I was supposed to handle it. And in actuality, it was a blessing in disguise because it put me on the mat because it showed the people in boxing that I could handle a tough fight when it comes on. And then showed me, more importantly, what I can do when I have a tough fight.
Oh, battle tested.
Yes.
And so what advice would you give to somebody that would like to be, aspires to be a referee? I remember you spoke about how it happened for you. Have things changed since then as far as like the process? So if somebody would like to, what would you recommend to them?
Well, no, the process has always been, you know, you start out the amateur ranks. Okay. And you work your way up from there. I was just fortunate and blessed to be in the right place at the right time with the right people, and everything fell in place. But I tell anybody who's interested in wanting to become a referee, especially in the professional ranks, it's like I alluded to before, you know, have a love and respect for the sport. Why do you want to be a referee? Do you want it for the fame? Do you want it for the money? Because you're not going to last. It's too much pressure. It's too much to deal with. You know, you have to have a love and understanding and respect for the sport. And then learn the rules and regulations. Excuse me. Not only learn the rules and regulations, but know how to apply those rules and regulations. Go to the local gyms. And when the guys are in there sparring, you know, ask the trainers, can you get in there and work with the fighters? You know, work on your movements, work on your positioning, because positioning is very important when you're in that ring, because you have to see, be in position to see what's really going on. So just once again, you know, having the love or having the respect for the sport is very important, and understanding what are you getting into, because you can take a lot of criticism. If you can't handle that, you're in the wrong business. Excuse me.
And do you feel like that weeds some people out though, with like you said, people might have the wrong motives for joining, and mm-hmm. people can't take the criticism because it's coming regardless you call the best fight, or you know, nobody will ever agree with you fully. So do you think that'll weed some people out though?
Absolutely. What's the old saying? You can't stand that. Can't stand the heat. Get out of the kitchen, because it's gonna be coming. Yeah. You will listen. It's like in anything you do, you will be tested. You will be tested, and you'll know if this is what you really want to do. Because let me explain to you this way. When I finally got on in Vegas, understand, I started in Phoenix, Arizona, small venues. When I got on in Vegas, I went from the small pond to the big ocean, Mandalay Bay, MGM Grand, 15,000-20,000 people, millions of watching around the world, celebrities all over the place. It's a different environment. And you have to understand exactly where you are and what's going on. Because, you know, if you don't know, like I said before, you're definitely not going to make it in the sport, but you'll know for sure.
Right. Wow. And so without, giving too much and basically whatever you like to share. What's next for you? Because you're such a busy man. I mean, I know you was doing some traveling earlier. You were out of the country. You know, what types of things do you have going for you right now?
Yeah, well, like I say, it's been kind of slow here in Vegas, but it's starting to pick up. We got some good fights coming up down the line. And, you know, I'm just enjoying life, man. When opportunities come along for, you know, to do another movie or to travel to do another fight out of the country, you know, I'm there. So, yeah, I'm just enjoying life. I'm truly blessed to do what I do.
Wow. Well, Tony, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to be a guest. Like I always say to all the guests, I always learn. I feel like I learn the most. So sometimes it's, you know, people say that they learn a lot, but I feel like, you know, it's always beneficial for myself as well. Appreciate what you do in the community. Like again, you know, everybody that's watching, Tony's popped up at our Boys and Girls Club multiple times. Always a you know, a pleasure to take pictures with. You know, he's a local hero here. So again, hats off to you for always giving back to the community.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. Like I say, I really appreciate you having me on and giving me this platform. You know, everything is all about the kids. No matter what we're into, it's all about the kids and bringing the kids up and showing them the right way, showing them the right direction. You know, having been a fan myself, I understand what it is when you see someone who you look up to, see someone who you see on TV and you admire, and then you get to actually see them in person and they actually talk to you, you know, and spend their time with you. So, you know, for me, that's what I really love to do. That I really love to go to the Boys and Girls Club and talk to the kids and go to the local gyms, talk to the amateur kids and encourage them. So, you know, it's always, for me, it's always giving back to the community because the community has given me so much.
Absolutely. Pay it forward. You're welcome back on anytime, sir. Again, I appreciate you and have a good rest of your day.
Thank you. You do the same. Appreciate everyone.